for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, May the 26th, 2002. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the speaker of the afternoon.
Praise the Lord. Well, I want to share what the Lord gave me to share, and I am going to run into a lot of stuff that Doc Hughes this morning, but as I told Doc, it's my point, what the Lord showed me, so we'll go that way too, okay? I was looking at these men over here, and I was telling the church upstairs, the women upstairs, I said, you know, when the Lord called me to preach, I was living in a Baptist, was Baptist in Women Baptist Church, and women didn't preach. And so I was laying in bed one night, and the Lord preached me a sermon. He called me and he preached the sermon to me. And he said, in the spirit realm, your spirit, I see you a spirit. And he used scripture and gave it to me. And I said, Lord, my husband and I both had been ordained and we had he'd called us into a church. And I said, I was being real religious. I said, I'll pray for him. You let him preach. And the Lord said this to me. He said, I called you and you'll give account to me for what I've called you to do. Whether you ever stand where I've called you or not, you will give account because I've called you to teach my word, share my word. And so, you know, it really helped. I had several prophecies. I don't know why I'm saying this, but the Lord knows. I had several prophecies that God had called me to as a teacher, and I thought, I knew that I studied the word a lot and I liked to teach it. And I had a man come to me one time. I went to a church where he's holding revival, and he comes in to preach. And Jim and I, just at the last, we decided to go. We were in town in Memphis, and this was way out in the country, and we had gone in to eat. And he said, "Honey, I heard about a revival going on in a little church. He says, let's go out there." And I said, "Well, we'll be late." And he said, "No, we might miss the worship, but we'll get there in time of preaching." So we take off up into the country, and we go in, and by the time we get there, we're still in the back row. And this evangelist came in, and I thought he was fixing to preach, and he looked over, was looking at the congregation. He said, "Hey, you back there on the back row," and he described me, and he said, "I saw you when I was coming to church tonight." He said, "God wants you to share the word." He said, "He's called you to teach the word." And I thought, wow. You know, I mean, he said a lot of things. And then I had another man give me and I don't go by prophecy. I'll tell you right now, I don't. Because I look at the word in the prophet in the word, and every time and I know there's prophecies to edify, to build up, and to comfort. But when I look at a prophet in the scripture, they were always either rebuking, chastising, or telling them things they didn't want. In fact, when the prophet would come to town, they'd run. People didn't want to hear what they had to say, a true prophet. So I had seen a lot of prophecy come forth that wasn't the Lord. I mean, you know, I had seen people literally prophesy money out of people's pocket. And I didn't want any part of that. But this was people that I didn't know, and they didn't know me. And this man, the second man that talked to me, he said, "God has made you a pair of boots." I thought, "I don't wear boots." I mean, you know, in the natural, I'm thinking this. And he said, "They're special." He said, "You're going to speak a word that a lot of other people don't, they won't receive it, and they don't teach it." But he said, "God's going to give it to you, and you're going to share it." And there was some other stuff. But anyways, there was two, you know, kind of confirming what the other man had said. And I knew what God had said to me, so here I am.
Here I are.
Here I are. So, So anyway, I want to start in 1 Samuel. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of sharing. And Father, I ask you to forgive me for trying to get out of it. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you see my heart. You know my heart's desires to do that which you've called me to do. And so, Father, I just ask you now to anoint the word. Give me what you would have me to share. And, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of sharing in Jesus' name. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to receive your word. And, Father, I ask you to send angels in to cleanse this church of all those demonic forces that have been cast out. But we bind them and ask you to send the angels to take them out of the church, away from the church, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for the authority to bind and to loose. And I bind every spirit that was cast out. You will not stay in this building. You will not harass or hinder anyone in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I was telling the ladies upstairs that 1 Samuel verse, chapter 28, I was telling them that we had a man come to our church one time. He said, he came in, he said, "Mildred, what are all those demons doing on top of your church?" He said, "They're all bound up." He said, "They're just, your top of your church is just full of spirits." And I said, "Well, we've been binding them." He said, "Well, why don't you get rid of them?" I said, "I thought we did." He said, "They're still up there." He said, "I've never seen anything like it." Well, I didn't see him, but anyways, I took him at his word. And I said, "Father, just send the angels to cleanse our church. Take those things away in the name of Jesus." So I learned to bind, and not only bind, but call for the angels to take them away. I don't want them to stay around hindering. I said, "I won't have to cast those things out again." Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 28, and I'm going to begin with verse 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in, I can't pronounce that word, so you pronounce it. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched at Gilboa. And when Saul saw that the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servant, "Seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, and that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there's a woman that has a familiar spirit in Endor." I know Brother Doc preached on talked about the familiar spirit this morning. So I wanted this, the Lord gave it to me the other day, so I want to share this with you, what I know. I don't know a whole lot about familiar spirits, but I know that every time they're mentioned in the scripture, that it tells that things that happened, that what God says about him. And this, you see, Saul had already driven out all the witches and the ones that had the familiar spirits in the land. But he was wanting to hear from the Lord, so he goes to this witch, and he wants her to bring up Samuel. And she didn't know it at that time, what he was wanting. And she says, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, "I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up whom I shall shall name unto thee." And the woman said unto him, "Behold, thou knowest what Saul has done, how he has cut off all those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then that layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die?" And what she was saying was, as a woman with a familiar spirit, she knew that to be found out, it was death sentence. God hated those spirits. And so Saul went to her, divine her up, him up a Samuel. Now, I'm not going into that, but I want to tell you, years ago, we had a witch come to our church. And what I learned about familiar spirits was from some of the things that she had to say about them. I didn't know a whole lot about them, still don't know anything about them. But the thing I want to share with you this afternoon, that as Doc said this morning, that the familiar spirit, he said what the Lord showed him about that, what God gave him, and that was real good. But the thing that I always find it in the scripture, it's always with a witch. And then what God says in Leviticus about it. And so I'm going on over to Leviticus, and I'm going to give you a scripture over there. I told Doc he walked all over me this morning. So y'all bear with me. In Leviticus chapter 20, I'm going somewhere, so don't give up on me until we get there. Praise you, Jesus. Chapter 20 and verse 27. A man... Also, let me back up to verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord. I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye shall be mine. A man or a woman that has a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. He said that they would be stoned, put to death. And the Lord gave me the scripture over in John, in the John 16, and Brother Doc went the same way this morning, only he went to, I think, John 14. Evidently, my husband used to tell me when this would happen to me at home. When we had the ladies' conference, I taught on the curse of Eve, and the next lady came up right behind me and taught the same thing, only in a different way. So, but the thing is, The familiar spirit acts like in an individual, tries to imitate his. To me, it's a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. The familiar spirit is. And a lot of the things we get from people come from the familiar spirit in them instead of the Holy Spirit. They don't know the difference. But you know, the scripture tells us over in John, 1 John, it says, that the spirit, the anointing within you will teach you all the things you need to know. And there's the anointing within you will reveal whether this be of God or not. And I see people just swallow everything hook, line, and sinker and don't make it line up with the Word of God. If you have anything, anybody gives you anything and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't receive it. Don't receive it. I had a lady, I didn't have a lady, but I heard of a lady that went to a friend of mine that had died. Her husband, this woman went to him and told him after she had died that God had told her that she was going to be his wife. Well, start with, everybody knew it wasn't God because she was married. And that woman all had enough sense to know God's not going to go against his own word. And the very idea of someone saying, God told me you're going to marry me. He called me and was telling me about it. And I said, well, what did you tell her? Did you rebuke her? No. I said, well, what was she going to do with her husband? Divorce him, he said. He said, I told her I wasn't ready to get married. This was within a year after my friend had died. And so, see, if we don't discern the spirits, what does 1 John 4 say? Try the spirits. See if they be of God or not. You know, the enemy, as the brother's been teaching us on what the sin does in us and what, but let me tell you something. This is for us to let the Holy Spirit show us whether it be God or not. You need to judge prophecy. Somebody comes and somebody said this the other day and gives you a prophecy on the side. It needs to be spoken before the church somewhere where it can be judged to see if it's God or not. We have been deceived and God wants us to know the truth. He wants us to walk in the truth. He wants us to be aware. He wants us to use the gifts that he's given unto us. He's given us the spirit of discernment. All the gifts are in the Holy Ghost, and they operate as we need them. And we need discernment when someone comes and says, God said. And they come to me and said, God said this and God said that. And I said, the same God that talks to you talks to me. And when he tells me, then we'll be in agreement. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I said, that's not what the Word says. I take everything by the Word of God because it's the only truth we have. And, you know, I've had the Lord speak to me sometimes when I'm studying on spirits and so forth, and I'd say, Lord, I never heard that before. Where is it in the Scripture? And He'll give you the Scripture you asked Him. Over in John 16 says the Holy Spirit was in verse 27. Wait a minute. Yeah, I just had one Scripture there right now. I'm going back in just a minute. John 16, verse 20. Just hold your place. I'm going to read this one. John 20, 16, verse 26. Let me find my place. It's, 13. It says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And He shall glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. For all things whatsoever, all things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. And you know, the Holy Spirit within us, that's not the Scripture I was looking for, but it'll do. That the Holy Spirit within us knows all truth. And you know, you get a witness right down here in your spirit, whether it be true or not. But I see people going from one place to another. I know a man one time that used to have people following him around with a tape recorder. I promise you. And they wanted a word from the Lord. Well, you know what he did? He gave them words. Until one day, he was at a place that you couldn't tell. He could not tell you whether it was God or him. We knew he had opened the door for this spirit to come in. He'd come to our church. We had a group of people coming to sing. We have a singing once a month there. And the people, he started coming with them. He didn't sing with them, but he came with them. And one night, well, he would come in he'd get up there with them and do his thing till Jim had to finally, instead of throwing him out, Jim finally just shut the singing down. And we really hated to do it, but Jim saw him write a prophecy on a piece of paper and give it to someone in our church. And Jim said, that's it. And he stopped him. But the thing was, the man had been pleasing people. See, I get into more trouble sometimes, Lord. But when people go to telling you what you want to hear, you judge it. Because God doesn't always tell us what we want to hear. And we need to know the truth. We need to know whether it be God or not. And the only way you can know is let the Spirit within you judge. You know, if God's already shown you something, He can confirm it through someone else. There's so many ways that we can judge this, what a person says to us. But we need to judge it always by the Scripture and by the Spirit within us that knows all truth. Let me see where I can find that Scripture I was looking for. Well, let's go back to Leviticus. No, let's go to 2 Kings. I won't go to 2 Kings, okay? I'll get straightened out in a minute. Just hang in there with me. We're just family. Y'all won't stone me, will you? Praise the Lord. Second Kings chapter 9. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Jezebel was a witch, was she not? Yeah. Scripture tells us in 2 Kings chapter 9 verse 22. It says, and it came to pass when Joram and saw Jehu, he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many? And I went to that scripture as the Lord was showing me that the witch, Jezebel's called a witch, and and the whoredoms that went with her. But the thing is that I find that with this familiar spirit that I learned about from the woman that came to our church, she was at our house one night and was leaving. She came in under the pretext of wanting to be delivered. And we had been praying with her and she never seemed to get any deliverance. And so we were just really tired of it. We knew that she wasn't for real. But it's hard when you've got someone that's coming to you continuously wanting help and telling you all these tales, that you want to help them if you can. But Jim and I began to discuss, and I said to him one night, I said, did you notice she never gets any deliverance? But she started out our door one night, and there was and Dr. Noah was talking about the bird this morning. There was a thing on my house that I had never seen before. And she said, and then Jim told me it was a flying frog. Well, I didn't know there was such a thing. But it was on our front door as she went out, and Jim started rebuking. He was seeing it in the spirit, so he was rebuking it. And she just goes over to it and she starts talking to it. And Jim looked at her and he said to her, what are you doing? She says, I'm telling it to go. And she says, it's been sent to spy. Now, that's the first that I'd heard of a frog being used. I knew that I felt like a lot of times when we were in deliverance and so forth, that we felt like that we'd start out the door and there'd be a black cat on our doorstep, you know, from the church. And so it's one of the reasons I don't like cats. And have a neighbor that has 12 in her house next door to me, and I can't stand cats. Does that tell you something? But anyways, but the thing that I'm saying is that they can use, for the familiar spirits, they can use animals to send them to spy out on you, to spy on you, to find out what's going on with you. And they are come to see where your weak spots are. I was thinking about some of the things Doc said this morning. I remembered one thing that we learned from this woman. One thing when we really began to know she wasn't for real, we were trying to find out. We got under so many curses, and I said to her, how does this happen? How do we get, you know, the curses? How are they sent is what I was trying to say. How are they sent? I knew how they come in. When you have a door open, they walk in. And so we had been cleansing our house, like Doc was talking about this morning. We had thrown away everything. I even got rid of crystal. I mean, my crystal drinking glasses, my crystal flower vases. It's crystal, and I thought, I don't want those things in my house if they could be used to, you know, for whatever. You know, I was talking about the crystals that were used and all of this. And one thing that woman said to me when something was said about us throwing the stuff out, said, you might as well keep it. Said, you'll have a crack in your door somewhere, and they walk in. And what she was saying was, what the scripture says, curse causes cannot come. There's got to be a reason for the enemy to attack. I know that it's in us. We have so many things. I was telling the ladies upstairs, I said, you know, I look at, you know, the scripture says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. I said, we don't think about sin, of what it really is in the little things that we do. And we keep, it's like we have a pipeline, you know, to God, between us and God. There's this pipe. This is my illustration of how we do so many things to cut us off from God. These little things that we do that we never confess to the Lord or never take care of, it blocks, it eventually cuts us off from our community, gets us to a place we don't even want to pray. Because we do not take care of the little sins, what we call little sins. Like, I had to repent even while I was preaching up there this sharing this afternoon. We let things come out of our mouth that we shouldn't. We think thoughts and we do things that, you know, the word, if you think on something, let it come in your mind. If you don't cast it down and cast it, I said, I cast out thoughts. Cast them down, you'll eventually speak it. And when we open the door around us with the things we say and we never repent of those little things, then the enemy has an open door to come and attack us. You say, well, we don't dwell on these. What I'm trying to say is let's get rid of the little things we're learning. Unforgiveness. Fear is a real big door open. Self-hatred and all of these things. We had just tremendous deliverance yesterday afternoon on all these things that we've been learning. We went after the spirits and everybody up there was getting deliverance from those things. And the thing is, we let those things happen and do stay in us without getting rid of them the minute they come. Paul said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, if you get angry, the minute you get angry, you need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you. And so these things, the enemy knows it. And I used to say, there's an elderly man was in our church, and he always knew what button to push to make me mad. He called himself being funny, but it was dry humor, and it always rubbed me the wrong way. So the problem was mine, and I kept binding him. So one day the Lord says, look inward, girl. And I thought, oh, Lord, forgive me. And I said, Lord, whatever that is in me that I need to get rid of, show it to me. Because he was a kind man. He's in his 90s. You know what the Lord did to me? He let me take care of that man before he died, after I lost my husband. And you know what? I had more times to repent. Ooh, I had more times to repent. He was 94, 93, somewhere's in there. He had no family, and he got sick, and didn't have anyone but me. I mean, I did a lot of repenting. I'd get called in the middle of the night to go see about him, take him, call the doctor, whatever. All these things. But you see, the enemy knows how to get to us. And unless we keep our hearts right, get rid of all the stuff that we watch. You know, I've been teaching in my church. Since the Lord had been dealing with me, I'd been teaching on words. You know, Proverbs says 18:21-23 says, power of death and life are in the tongue. And we're either speaking curses, every word we speak that is not edifying, not working, is a curse. Jesus said his words are spirit and their life. So we're made in his image, so therefore when we speak, we're either speaking life or death. And those words go forth, and they bring curses. And we don't think a thing about it. So I've been talking to our church, and I said, you know, we got a lot of repenting to do. We've got a lot of asking God to, you know, the biggest thing that I found with people, that they won't confess sin. They go to repent, and the scripture tells us we can't even repent unless God gives us the spirit of repentance. But we need to go before him and confess our sins, and not give the enemy an open door to attack us. I always say, am I the only one that does this? It's awful quiet, you know. I know you're thinking about all those things you need to repent of. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. In 1 Kings, in chapter 16, let's go over there. I tell the ladies, I want to keep praying for my eyes. You know, I'm going to read the scripture in a minute. I tell this, and I think I don't want to, I set it upstairs and sit down here. The Lord has been my doctor for 30 years. And I started to tell him we don't have any medicine. I don't have any medicine in my house. And I remembered I had a bottle of aspirin that I bought to feed my roses. Somebody told me if you put aspirin in a rose vase, they'll last longer. Well, mine died. And I think that bottle is still there in the bottom one of my cabinet drawers. But I don't have any medication in my house. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about my God. His word has been medicine for me for 30 years. Before then, I was constantly in the hospital having something removed or something. I had cancer and God healed me from it. And so he's taken care of me all this long time. And so I give him all the credit and all the glory for it. So I forgot where I was going with that. So y'all, it'll come back to me in a minute. Pray for my eyes. That's what I was talking about. I had a doctor pray for him the other night. I was looking in brother's book to see if I could find if he's got the reason for it. I sure do want to know, because I sure don't want to go to no doctor. But I'm having trouble reading small print. That's not a bad confession. It's the truth. And I'm an overcomer, and my eyes are going to be healed when I find out the cause of it. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I said this over and over again, and it has been an excuse, people. I said this to you, and some of you remember me saying it. It's easier to stick these glasses on my nose than to work at my face to get rid of whatever the problem is. If you're in pain, you'll go to the Lord for it. If you're sick, you'll go to the Lord. But, you know, you can just poke these glasses on. Well, I'm poking the glasses on sometimes, and they don't do a whole lot for me. I'm being honest. I'm not perfect yet. God's still working. I'm not going to be perfect till I go home to be with him or he comes. But I'm working. He's bringing me on closer and closer. Anyways, in 1 Kings, I need it. Thank you. Chapter 16, verse 30. He says, "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that that were before him." You see, I can't read. Can't even see. I can see. I can see all things. I break the curse of my own words. "And it came to pass, as it had been a light thing to him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up..." Thanks. That's much better. I got light. Praise the Lord. "And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." Now, when I titled this, I titled it "On Witchcraft and the Occult." Now, Doc's going to do that tomorrow on witchcraft, he said, so... But I still want to go on with this. But Ahab married Jezebel, who was a witch. And then we see this, she was called a witch and witchcraft. I wanted to say something about the witchcraft that curses that we fight. I don't know whether you have this problem or not, but there's always something going on around my house, in my house. There's spirits that get in my house, and I run them off. And I was thinking, as Doc was talking this morning, surely I have brought something in that I don't know that's there that I need to get rid of, because they can't come in unless they've got a reason. And so I wanted to say this, since he talked about this morning. I had brought some of the things from my friend, from Morton, when he died, into the that he had given me. He gave me a vacuum cleaner, but I took it out and I couldn't use it. I took it out and put it in the barn. It was too heavy. But anyways, there has to be something, reason for those spirits to come in. We had problems like this at the other house that I lived in. Jim and I lived there for 50 years. And we would have company sometimes, and we'd be sitting in our den and our dining room door would open and close. Scare people, because it would slam. It wouldn't just close. It would slam with a bang. And we had gone in there. We anointed with oil. We prayed. We bound, and I had scripture all over my walls, because we had started with scripture walls. Took down all the pictures. Didn't have any pictures up, because God had shown me that I had an altar with all my grandchildren and all this. So, we couldn't understand why we couldn't have that spirit out of my dining room. And one Sunday morning, I was preaching in the church, and we had prayed and prayed. And I want to show you how you can have things, you can look at everything you bring in your house, and you still miss stuff, miss things. I was preaching, and the Lord showed me while I was preaching a picture of scripture hanging on my dining room wall that had a tree in it. And on the tree was birds, but there was one dead that was hanging bottom upwards. And the Lord said, that's the open door for that spirit to come into your dining room. So we go home and we take that thing out. See, scripture, you don't think about it. You've gone by the picture and it's got scripture on it. That's great. You know, you put scripture on a wall. Got a tree, got birds. We did not even see that bird, that dead bird. So what's that got to do with? I don't know, but the Lord said that was the thing. I didn't tear it apart to see if there was something inside the picture or nothing. Like, we just got rid of it and that thing left. But it had been there for several months before we, you know, before the Lord showed us what it was. So they were using that, the enemy was. How did I do this, Lord? You show me. He was showing me how the witchcraft works. That was used. And also when he sent this woman to the church, the devil sent the woman to the church. She finally admitted to us that she was sent and that she came to find out why, where we were getting the knowledge of some of the spirits we were going after. And I thought, how do they know what we're doing? Well, the devil's got a kingdom. He's got a network. And those familiar spirits are used to spy upon us to take the knowledge back. This woman that came, which we found out later, was a head witch. Her father was a high priest in Satanism, and they had sent to find out where we were getting the knowledge. Well, we were getting it out of the book. They said, you're not supposed to know things like that. Well, God wanted us to know, so he told us. We had run into several of the big-time spirits like Leviathan, and she would not even say the word Leviathan. He was such a powerful spirit in the devil's kingdom. So she said, and I believe that because sometimes it's hard to get out of people. He's pride. You know, he's king of all those children of pride. You did know that, didn't you? And we had found the hunter of souls. The Lord had given that to me one time in deliverance. And some of the other spirits we had gone after. And so the enemy wanted to know. And he had used the witch with the familiar spirit to send to come into our house and, you know, to our church. And do you know that it took us quite a while to get our church cleaned up from what that woman did in our church? But anyways, let's go on. I want to go to 1 Samuel 15. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I know you know these scriptures, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. You know, God told Saul through Samuel, he sent Samuel to him in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. But before I read that, let's go read verse 23. Before I read it, God told Samuel to tell Saul when they went into the battle to destroy everything, everybody, animals, children, men and women, when they went into that battle that he had sent them in, and they didn't obey him. Saul kept the best of the sheep and the animals, and he brought the king back when God had told him to destroy everything. And you know, it's like we are today. When Doc was talking about destroy things, well, I can't get rid of that. That belonged to my great-grandma. We can't get rid of that. That was my children. You Doc mentioned the horoscope and stuff like that this morning. And I want to stop right here and tell you something. I was in a meeting one night, and my daughter and her husband was there. And Jim and I were there, and my daughter went up to get prayer for something. I don't remember what it was. It's been a long time ago. And when the man went to pray for her, he laid his hands on her to pray, and he said to her, "You have got a ring. I think he said a mother's ring." And he said, "That is where a lot of your problems are coming from. You need to get rid of it." She said, "I don't have a ring." I was the one had it. My children had given me a mother's ring with their birthstones in it. And then they'd given me another ring with my grandchildren's birthstones in it. And he said to her, "This thing is interfering with your healing." And I don't know how he knew that the ring was there. So we got rid of it. My husband took a lot of things that we had and threw it away. Went by, as he's going to work, he dropped it into the lake, one of the rivers that he went over as he went to work. And it was no problem with me. But, you know, after all that was over, after we cleaned our house out, I could hear the enemy saying, see, there you got rid of all the things your kids have given you. I broke a soul tie with them. I said, Lord, things don't mean a thing. You see, if you want God more than you want anything in this life, things don't mean anything. And it's no problem to get rid of it. Like I told you, the first night I broke soul tie with my husband's car, I had to break soul tie with the house I lived in for 50 years. I cut grass for about 15 years of that. And I said, when I was getting ready to move, I said, I break a soul tie with every foot of this ground. Because I put my heart and soul in it. It's hard work it out there. And I put my sweat and gone into it. And, you know, I just got so free from it. I had no problem with it. Now, everybody was telling me, you're going to have time. You're going to have to pass that house the time you go to town. Well, half the time, you never look even to see what kind of house, you know, what's there or anything anymore. Doesn't bother me. So, but anyways, to get rid of things sometimes that will bind you and will cause you problems, and I know that we're overcomers. I know the greater one lives within us. I know this, but you see, we're not perfect yet. We're working on it, and we've got open doors with all this stuff that we hang on to. You know, Deuteronomy 7, the last chapter, the last verse in it says that if you bring an abomination into your house, you become like it. Doc didn't read it this morning, but that was one of the things that he was talking about, cleaning your house. Let me read this one first. We'll look over there at it, okay? Verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15 says, and Samuel said, has the Lord so great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and disobedience and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. He said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Been in witchcraft lately? I didn't say that. The word said, I didn't write that. I'm just reading what the word says. He said, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. We rebel, we disobey. He said, and we disobey what God tells us. We disobey and we rebel. Having children that rebelled against what you're saying and turn and go absolutely the opposite direction. My son said, he was in a Sunday school class in church one Sunday morning when he was 16. And the Sunday school teacher was teaching from 1 John. He said, he closed his Bible and says, I'm not going to believe that stuff. And he went about 25 years before he came back to the Lord, maybe 20. And you know where God put him in the Word when he came back? 1 John. Put him right back where he had run away from. So, you know, when we rebel, God has a way of bringing us back. Go over to Deuteronomy in chapter 7. Let's look at that. It says, the graven images of their God shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination to thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. God says that we're not to bring them into our house, nor desire the silver or gold on them. And I was thinking about James Robinson telling about all the stuff that was dumped in a lake. Some man tried to give him a lot of stuff that, the objects that were worth about $1 million. And they, Jade, is that what it was? And they dumped it into the river, I think, somewhere. And people were out there trying to recover it. But I was thinking about a girl in our church. I don't remember what it was she had at the time, but it was something that she knew that she needed to get rid of. And it was made of silver. So she takes it and has it crushed and puts it on the chain and wears it around her neck. She still got it. She still got the spirit that went with it too. Okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy 18. Now let's read the things that God tells us about witchcraft. And he says in verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son to pass, or daughter, or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divinations, or as an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. There thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of time and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God has not suffered thee to do so. He said, you know, there's a scripture over in Amos that says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And I see when he's talking here about driving all these out of the nations, out of the lands where he's sending them in, we today try to bring people into the kingdom by going with them wherever they go. But most of the time, instead of lifting them up, they'll pull us down. And so you can't do it. You need to get them on your territory to minister to them. You need to bring them into your land and share Jesus with them rather than trying to go where they go. And people say, well, I've had people tell me, well, you know, I don't do what they do. I said, you know what my Bible says to avoid the appearance of evil? What are you going to do with that one? If you're in a bar trying to be friends with someone or witness to them and they're drinking, and you may have a Coke in a glass, nobody knows what you've got in your glass. So God says that you can't walk with someone that doesn't agree, walk the same walk you do. In fact, over in 1 Corinthians says you're not even, if it's a one that calls himself a brethren, you're not even to sit down and eat with them. But the thing is, God was telling them to drive the things out of the land so they would not draw them into it. And that's what I see happens. Look at our world today. Look what's happened to our world today. Look where we are. And you know what I think when I think about what's going on in this world? How many Christians are there in this world today? Real Christians. And what have we done about it? So, well, I've prayed, but not very often. We sit back and let the devil take over. And we need to rise up and take, listen, we didn't do anything but binding loose. Let me tell you, binding works. I've been binding for, it seems like 100 years. And I often wonder why other people didn't bind. They said, well, I bound last week or first of the month or how often do you bind? Every time I see someone needs binding, which is every time I turn around and look, you say, well, that's all you look for. Look, I walk in deliverance. I have to. If somebody calls you up and prophesies to you and says, and somebody you really believe, trust, don't you leave this. God said you stay there. Whew, I shook. I was wanting to run. Well, I'm almost 75 years old. I'm ready to retire. I'm ready to retire. And then the Lord reminded me Moses didn't start till he was 80. Praise the Lord. I tell you, the Lord loves us, so now I thank God for it. But I want you to know that we need to be aware of these things. And I think that what the Lord was saying to me when he gave me this was that we don't recognize the occult. You say, it can't bother me. Maybe you don't say it, but you really think it most of the time because you never do anything about it. Did you know that when we bind, the Word tells us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, that we're fighting spiritual warfare. So when I pray and bind the spirits in the heavenlies, I bind principalities, powers, and rules of darkness in the heavenlies, but I bind Satanism from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and also bind the spirits in the ground. You know how I learned to do that? When you mention deliverance, you have a demon say, you can't throw me out. You say you talk to the demons, not that I don't have to. but they talk to me sometimes. And I said, you come out of there. And they said, no, I got help. I said, you didn't get help around here. I bound. You forgot to bind the ground. And they came in. And I got aid. I said, you're lying. But you see what I'm saying? He reminded me that I didn't bind the cover the ground and their spirit. I watched. I stood in my kitchen window one day and watched spirits go into the ground. I saw them come and they went into the ground like that. When I first looked at them, I thought I was seeing in the natural eye, and I saw these big things come, and I thought, my word, what is that? And they went into my yard out by my pecan tree and went into the ground. I thought, we got to pray over that. They go into the ground. The hunter souls, I believe, stays in the ground. And then the Lord, one day I was at the same window, and the Lord showed me the dragon, and he was going across. I had never seen a spirit that big. I've seen demons, but I'd never seen one that big. And he was going across just a skyline where I could see him, and he went on past my house, thank God, and kept going. And I thought, well, I wonder where that thing's going. And it went on, and there was a church, Jehovah's Witness, Kingdom Hall, about four doors, five doors down from where I used to live, and that thing went over there. You say, you're just talking. Let me tell you, my eyes were open. It was, I've seen spirits before. I had never seen the dragon, but I saw that thing, and it went on over to there. But you see, we need to take our authority and bind. Do you bind when you get in your car? Do you bind and ask for the angels of the Lord to come, and as you drive along, they'll protect you from any of the things that are round about? I'm talking about cars. You know, the word says that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. Well, I'm an heir of salvation. They're not ministering to me, but they're ministering for me, and I ask them to go before me and to destroy any trap or snare the devil has laid for me as I go forth. I'm going by myself. Me and Jesus in my car with angels in the back seat, and we're just going on down the road. And I said, don't let anything happen to me, and don't let me harm anyone else. I pray, because God's given us authority. People say, you can't order the angels around. Psalms 103 says, in verse 20, says that angels hearken unto the word, God's, the voice of God's word. And over in Hebrews 1:7 says that the angels are ministering spirits. So therefore, if you say, God, your Father, your word says that that angels are weapons for us. Some of your angels that came with you when you were born are so big and fat because you don't ever use them. I'm sure mine's just skinny because I work him all the time. Because I've had demons say, if it wasn't for your blankety blank angels, we'd have killed you long time ago. Yes, they are. And I tell you right now, we're fighting principalities and powers. You can't do it with your hand. No. Have a lady in my church, she'll stomp her foot. And I just hate the devil. And I said, that don't bother him. He hates you too. I said, you need to use your weapons of war. Man, I tell you, we're in a war. We're overcomers. Did you know Jesus has already defeated the devil?
Hallelujah.
The penalty just hadn't been carried out yet. Because his place is in the lake of fire.
That's right.
And that's where Revelation says he's going. And all of his demons are going, and fallen angels and the demons are going with him. But because of the unbelief, there's going to be a lot of people there too. Okay, let's go on. I want to get to, we'll jump over to Ezekiel 13. I'm leaving out a lot of scripture. But I want to share something in the area that Doc got on my scripture this morning, but that's okay because he didn't go, he backed off. He didn't go into it. I told him I was going to have him in here and get Brother Glenn and the other ministers up in. We was going to have a session of questions and answers or deliverance, and they had to answer all the questions. So he's not here. Praise the Lord. He and I got in a battle at lunch over something, but that's okay. We fight a lot anyways, but I love him. He's wrong sometimes. He can't be perfect all the time. Praise the Lord. Over in Ezekiel in chapter 13, let me read it. Y'all heard it this morning, but I'm going to read it again, okay? I told you that the Lord gave me this quite a while ago on the hunter souls. And I'd read the scripture many times, but I'd never seen it. He says, likewise, thy son of man set thy face against the daughters of the people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. And say, thus saith the Lord, Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows on all the armholes that make kerchiefs upon the head of every creature, every statue to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people? And will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? And will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore saith the Lord, Lord God, behold, I am against your pillars wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arm and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Now, before I go into that, say anything else about that. That scripture says, will you hunt the souls of my people? Now, let's go back to Psalms 23. And the Psalms 23 says, He restoreth my soul. Did you ever ask God why your soul need to be restored? Psalms 19, verse 7 says, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And that word converting is restoring the soul. Why does the soul need to be restored? When I was in the Baptist church, and they'd say, you got to get your soul saved. You got to get souls saved. Go out, witness, and bring souls into the kingdom. No, they didn't say kingdom, into get them saved. And so this is what I believe, you know. But no one, and I never thought what that scripture was saying. He restores my soul. Then when it finally dawned on me, I said, Lord, why does my soul need to be restored? Do I not have all of it? Go to Psalm 7. We're coming back to this one, so hold your place. Probably we'll come back. I may not. Psalm 7 says, verse 2, well, let's go to verse 1. O Lord my God, indeed do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rend it in pieces while there's none to deliver. Lest he tear my soul in pieces while there's none to deliver. So it says, he tears my soul like a lion, rend it in pieces. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be an iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy, let him persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. So David says there in that psalm, he said, if I have done evil for good, let him take my soul, let him slay me. But you see, the word says, when there was none to deliver, the soul was torn in pieces. When was there none to deliver you? Before you came to the Lord, before you knew about the Lord, the enemy had an open door. He could go in and do what he wanted to. You belong to him. The word tells us in Ephesians 2 that the God we were under the power of the God of this world till we came to know the Lord. He was our God. He didn't bother with us a whole lot because he already had us until we were born again. And so when I was in deliverance one night, I ran into this spirit called Hunter Souls. And I said, Lord, I don't understand that. I never heard that before. I'd been teaching on soul ties, how you can be tied to another, how your soul can go into another. And I'd been teaching on all of these different things like that. And then when I heard this, I didn't understand it because I'm in one scripture for it, and I wanted to know what he's talking about. And when I began to look at this, this is witchcraft. Doc was talking this morning about Norman Parrish, and I was wondering if he was going to tell that what Norman had told on this. He was teaching one time on something on witchcraft, and he said that a man that he knew, that he had been ministering to and finally led him to the Lord, was a photographer. He had a dark room, and said that this guy, anyone that he didn't like, he would take a picture of them, and he would take a removed part of their soul through witchcraft, and their Coke and put it in a jar. And so when Norman led him to the Lord, he said, "What am I going to do with all these souls?" Said, "Some of these people have even died that I've taken their souls. Others are sick and they're walking around sick." And he said, "What am I going to do?" And Norman said, at that time, he didn't know what to do about restoring the soul. So he said, "We'll go break the jars and ask God to protect the people and to heal them." And he said that they did. They broke the jars and said the next time that some of the people that they had seen that were sickly and really looked like they were near death, said their health had been restored and they were just doing great. Now, this is what this scripture is talking about, that witchcraft can remove the soul. There's a spirit. If you read the first part of it, it talks about the false prophet. And the false prophet, what I see when I was reading that when people just eat up prophecies, whether they be of God or not, they open the door for the enemy to just come in and to work on them. And he hunts the souls of God's people. All right, you say, "Well, I don't believe that." Let me ask you something. How many nursing homes do you see people that are back in a fetus position, just there? They don't know they're in the world. It's like their mind's totally gone. They should die. Why are they alive? How many people do you see? I had a nephew just drop dead the night before I came over here for no reason. He'd been healthy, nothing was wrong. He died just like that. How many people do you see die for no reason, seemingly? That scripture said that they hunt the souls and they keep alive those that should die. You know, do you doubt God's word? You say it's the Old Testament. I don't care if it is. It's God's word. And he said they hunt the souls and they keep people alive that ought to die. And why do they do that? To cause all kinds of problems in the home. And they fight over mama's money and daddy's money and who's going to do this and who's going to do that. And the devil just sits back in life. See, it's lack of knowledge. They didn't know how to keep their soul. They didn't know how to walk with God. They listened to some preacher that said, "You're okay. You got saved. Sit down. Get the Holy Ghost. Sit down. You're okay." I was in the Baptist church. Got saved. They told me God, the thing it was. Sit down. I said, "What am I sitting for?" They went to training union, all this stuff. I praise God for the Baptist church. I'm not coming against it, but I'm telling you what happened to me. And I went and did everything they told me to do. I worked and I did everything. Yeah, it was me. Wasn't God. I'd go home so tired and I'd say, "God, where were you?" And I'd cry and weep and beg God to tell me where he was. I couldn't find him. Well, I got the Holy Ghost. God sent someone to the Baptist church. Took me to meetings. So I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then they said, "Sam, you got a dog." Well, I thought I wasn't this miserable, but I was wanting to know what I was filled with the Holy Ghost for. He gave me power. What was I going to do? Sit down and sit there? So God put me into deliverance, and I praise the Lord for it. But the thing is, I don't care if it is the Old Testament. It's God's word, and he said that they hunt the souls. And they keep people alive that ought to die, and they kill people that shouldn't die. And it's God's people he's talking about. Lack of knowledge. What? That one I just read in Ezekiel. Ezekiel, it said, I'll read it to you again if I can find it. I just flipped my Bible off. Thought I kept it before I could find it. Here it is. He said, 18. Thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows on all armholes. Okay. Will ye hunt the souls of my people, and will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? And will ye pollute me among my people with handfuls of barley and pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? So we got it all, and we don't get in the Word and dig it out. God will show us, and he's showing us that we need to believe what his Word says. Brother Tom told me the other day that he was ministering to a lady, and you know, I had I don't remember all you said. Would you share that? Did you mind?
Yeah.
I'd rather him tell it, but there was some real good deliverance came forth with it.
Yeah, we was able to go pray with a woman over upstate. I'm not going to tell you where she was or what her name was, but in this, we started breaking generational curses first, and then we come over to soul ties, because generational curses come down to the first person that's still alive in your family. Then it breaks over to soul ties. And so we started breaking soul ties with her parents and so on and so forth. We started breaking soul ties with stepfathers, stepmothers, and so on, and stepbrothers and stepsisters. But in this, there was blood covenants broken because there was sexual things going on between stepbrother and stepsister. So soul ties can do a lot of things, and you don't have to get into the grody things that are happening. And she was delivered from this part of the situation. So beware what's going on around about you.
Was it Moloch?
It was Moloch, yeah.
Moloch. Said she was delivered from the spirit of Moloch. Well, the thing is that God's given us the word, and he says that we need to obey it, we need to listen to it, and we need to say, Lord, do you ever call your soul back? Do you ever ask the Lord to restore your soul? If he said you need your soul restored, if you believe it, you will. If you don't, you won't. That's okay. I'm not here to convince you, just to tell you what I found out. Okay, we're going to go on now. Let's see. Praise the Lord. Another thing with the soul ties on the soul there and it being removed, we need to call it back. But I was sharing this. I was in bed one night, and I was having some symptoms that my mother and my sisters walked in, which I'd never had before. I felt my heart fluttering, and I thought, I've never had problems with my heart. And so as I was lying there, the Lord told me that, I was breaking soul tie between me and my mother and my sisters, and they were all already gone. They were dead. But I was breaking their soul ties and calling my mother's soul out. When I break a soul tie, I call the soul out and ask the Lord to restore their soul. And I always ask the Lord to restore the soul he put in me when I was in my mother's womb, my mind, will, and emotion. And anyways, whether you believe it or not, as I was lying there, the Lord said to me, he said, break four generation soul ties. And I thought, I never knew my grandmother. She died before I was born. But he said, break the soul tie. So I broke soul tie between, I had broken the soul tie between my mother and I. So I broke soul tie between my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and my great-great-grandmother. And was calling the soul out and my soul back. And I was breaking all the sickness and illnesses that come transfer through those soul ties. So, anyways, I forgot about it. Next morning, my husband asked me what I was doing. That's before he left. And he said, what are you doing? What are you doing deliverance for? I said, none of your business. Go back to sleep. And so, anyways, I was sharing with him later. But the it was either the next day or the next day at church, we were having services, and I was leading the praise, and the Lord said, and I had just really felt so good those 2 days, I had just totally forgotten. In fact, it was amazing to me, and I never even connected what had happened to me the night in the bed or with the way I was feeling. And so as I was leading, singing, the Lord said, share. And I said, share what? I'd forgotten. He said, soul ties. And so I did with our church. And then there was a lot of deliverance that came forth as we broke the soul ties. The people wanted us to break the soul ties with their four generations there. Because the word says the sins of the fathers are visited on the children for the third and fourth generation. And since I'm on soul, talking about soul ties, I want to share this about when my husband died. We'd been married 55 years, and You know, Genesis 2:24 says that a man shall cleave to his, man and woman shall cleave to each other. They shall become one flesh. I literally found out what that really meant when he died. When he died, I felt like I had been torn apart. The pain was so bad that I screamed, and it didn't get any better. I didn't continue screaming, but the pain was so bad I would cry out to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, I can't take this pain. Tell me what to do." And I said, "You've got to at least make it less for me to stand it." And he said, "You need to break that evil soul tie between you and your husband." So I said, "Father, I break an evil, ask you to break an evil soul tie between me and Jim. Restore my soul and free me from this pain." But I want you to tell you people that when you, when you get married, you cut a covenant because there's bloodshed. And Jim and I had been married since I was 17. And he was so much a part of me that when he died, I felt it was a long time before I had any confidence in myself or anything. I was always asking my kids for advice and everybody around me. It's like I couldn't make a decision. And so I had to call my mind, will, and emotion back. I said, "Lord, I break all those evil soul ties between Jim and I." Well, Jim and I had made a covenant in the area of, if we always, this is what we always said, we really cursed ourselves, I suppose you'd say that. We said when we died, we spoke and go together because we'd always been together. We'd been together so long. Well, when he was leaving, and when he was really bad, he just kept hanging on, and they kept saying, "Well, I don't know why he's still here." And so the Lord reminded me of what we had said. Okay, I'm telling you this to tell you what I didn't do, but I said to him, I'll go into them and I take his, put my hand in his, and I said, "Honey," I said, "I don't want you to suffer. I want you, if you're ready to go, you go." I said, "I'll release you from the vow we made in the name of Jesus." And I said, "I love you." And I told him some other things. I said, he was in a coma. And I said, "If you hear what I'm saying, if you understand what I'm saying, squeeze my hand." He squeezed my hand real tight. Then he turned it loose. And he died before morning that night. Well, I was telling the doctor the other day, upstairs, one of the girls said to me, I was telling this up there, and she said, I said, "But it seems like every symptom that he had tried to come up on me." And she said to me, and Doc told me, I said, "Well, you released him." I said, "Yeah, but I didn't release myself." So I had to break that, ask God to remove that vow. You know, over in Numbers, it talks about if you vow a vow, your husband can release you from it. But I don't have a husband, so God says, "He's my husband." I said, "Father, release me from the vow that I made with Jim and free me from all of these things that have been trying to come upon me." And I came out of there, in fact, Glenn came up to me and said, "You look different." He said, "You look better than you did when you came in." I thought, "Yeah, I sure do, because God's been doing a work in me." But the thing is, I just, you know, we bind ourselves. And I was bound to him because God had put us together. But God freed me from all of that. Didn't free me. You know, I still have my memories, and and I always say, anybody says, "Where's your husband?" I said, "He's home." He's home. I didn't go into this, but if you've been in married before and divorced, you need to break. Or if your wife died, you need to break soul tie. It's an evil soul tie, not a good one. You can't break a good soul tie. Because that's God put us together. That's good, and you've got good soul ties with your children. You know, over in 1 Samuel 18. David and Jonathan had good soul ties. Remember, said their soul was knit together. Soul ties knit, bound together. And it has to be, we have to be loose from it. And God free us from it. The evil is a soul tie is an area in which we try to control one another, manipulate one another. I didn't go into all of that because I had shared a lot of that upstairs. So I don't know if you were up there or not. But, you know how, well, I was, how wives, how husbands try to control, no, it's how women manipulate their husbands. I'll say this because I'm a woman, I know. That's why repentance is so important and break those things. You know, you don't want anything that to transfer. And through, see, Jim and I found that all this stuff was transferring to the evil soul time. And I just know that when God began to show me he restoreth the soul, I wanted to know why, and the soul can be removed. And I didn't go into a lot of it, I should have, but listen, look at this way. What is the soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotion. And you have trouble remembering things? Mm-hmm. Well, ask the Lord to restore your portion of your soul where you can't remember. I've had to do that. I do that. I've got where every morning. See, they tell you when you get older, you know, your mind goes, this first thing goes. Well, that's not true. And it doesn't have to. Look at Moses. You know, Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his natural strength was not abated, and his eyesight was not dim. Well, that tells me that what he had, we can have. And if we believe what the Word says and be doers of the Word and call the soul back, I probably should have gone along and called the soul back. But I've done that so many times, I just wanted you to start and think, you call your own soul back. I do when I get in to take me a shower. I'm in the shower and I say, Lord, I ask you to restore my soul. It's your Word, Lord. He said, I taught upstairs on authority and on praying the Word, standing on the Word. God says, put me in remembrance. And I say, Lord, you said that you'd restore my soul. So restore my soul. I want it. I want every bit of it back. My mind, my will, my emotion, my appetite. I don't mean my appetite. My ability. that I can let go, you know. But anyways, I put him in remembrance of what the Word says. And I said, you said you watch over your Word to perform it. Now this is what your Word says. That's what I said about the angels of the Lord. God's given us authority over them if we'll use the Word and all these things he's given unto us. But there's no reason. The world says when you get older, you're going to lose all this. No. There's no reason for you to end up like a vegetable in a bed. Right. There's no reason. And God wants us to have our mind, our will, our emotion, our ability, and still be vessels. We don't want to be like the world is. Did you know that you may be the only epistle that the world is reading? And we need to walk in health and healing and wholeness. I'm going to walk in divine health. I haven't got there yet, but I'm working toward it, believing for it. And God says I can have it, and I will have it. I don't care what anybody else says, because God's Word said it. I asked the Lord years ago when I first came to the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to go on into perfection. Hebrews 6 says if the Lord wills, we could go on into perfection, leaving the doctrine of baptism and raising of the dead and going into perfection. I said, Lord, that's where I want to be, because that's where you are. I want to grow in the knowledge and the things of the Lord and be what God wants me to be. I'm be 75 my birthday, and I'm gonna live till the Lord gets. I said I was gonna do deliverance till the Lord come, and if He doesn't come before He gets ready for me to go home, I'm gonna cast out a few demons before I go home. Because I believe in it, I know I've seen what it does to help people, and I believe that we need to go after those things, and we've got to have the mind. See, how can I have the mind of Christ if part of my soul's gone? You tell me. He said, let this mind, I was telling the Lord that this morning, I said, Lord, you said, let this mind be in me, that but we have the mind of Christ. And I said, now, if I don't have all my soul, I won't have the mind of Christ. And I'm going to have what he says I can have, because that's his Word. And he says, come and let us reason together. What have we got to reason with the Lord with? With the Word. That's the only thing you say. Get the Word. Say, this is what you said, Lord, and I'm believing for it. It's mine. He said, beloved, I wish above all things you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. My soul's not prospering. How can I be in health? I tell you, God wants us to be what he says we are. And he did all of this. He gave all of this to us. But the only reason we don't walk in it, people, is because we don't believe it. We've got to believe it to walk in it. So, Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Father, that clock back there is faster than this one. We just thank you, Father, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.com. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.